to the next generation. So super excited for them. If you've ever gotten a chance to meet Keaton, he's a fantastic guy. This isn't in my regular schedule notes, but just a great friend. One of our staff members here, he's in charge of all of our student ministry across the River Church, and just has an incredible heart for the next generation. And so I'd encourage you, if you have students, to maybe reach out to him. You can find his contact info on the web, on our website. But super excited just for the different ways that they're going to come back changed through the power of the gospel this next week. But welcome. It's good to see you all. It was awesome to have that welcome time this morning. You guys were getting loud in here, which is exciting. Just excited to be with one another. And then Larry kicked us off nice and loud with a jam session. So super excited with that. If we've never gotten a chance to meet, my name is Justin. I'm the pastor here at the River Church Davison. And so just super excited to be diving into God's word this morning. So grab your Bibles if you have them. Open with me to the book of Acts. And so we're in this short series this month, going through the early church, talking about the early church. And some of you may ask the question, why, right? Culture has changed. People have changed in the 2,000 years since the church started. Why do we look at the church in Acts 2, right? The early church for understanding. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, but in this month of January, we're talking a lot about what it means to be the church. And specifically as our church, we look at Scripture and we see really three calls for us as the body of believers, both as an individual call for each of us to live it out individually and for us to live it out corporately as the body of Christ. And so we're called to reach the world, gather with the saints, and grow in the word, all according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have this time each year to kind of kick off our year refocusing and to make sure we don't get distracted from what it is that we're called to as individuals and as the church. And as we walk through the nine different communities that we're a part of, right, we have nine locations here at the River Church, we should be in each of those communities looking to do these things as the body of Christ, to reach the world, to gather with the saints, and to grow in the word. And so last week we kicked off the series by taking a look at what it meant to reach the world according to the gospel. And today this morning we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to gather with the saints and what that gathering should look like. And so before we dive into God's word, let's pray together, if you would, with me. Lord, we thank you so much for your word and the way that it teaches us, it guides us, it directs us, both individually, Lord, that we each need to understand what it means to live a life following you in our own worlds, in our families, in our jobs, as we parent, as we care for those around us, Lord, but we also have a call as the church to live differently, and I thank you that your word gives us the guidance on how to do both. Lord, I pray this morning as we dive in your word, you would teach us, you'd direct us, and you would help us to come away from your word living differently, not just being hearers, but being doers. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, Acts chapter 2, open your Bibles there. We're going to be in verse 42 this morning, verse 42 through 47, taking a look at just what it is this early church was doing. And one of the questions that I thought was interesting starting off, and I hope that we'll maybe have the answer towards the end of it, but I want you to be thinking about it, is if I was to ask you, what is the church, how would you respond? If someone at your job or, you know, someone out and about, someone in your family who's not part of a church, if they were to ask you, what is the church or what is church, how would you answer that question? And would your answer be what the church is meant to be? It's a very interesting thing because I feel like when we talk about church, or specifically when culture talks about church, you get so many different answers, right? Some people say it's a building. Some people say it's people. Some people say that it's somewhere that you go on Sunday mornings. Others say that it's a way of life. And there's all these different answers for what the church is. And really, we're going to take a look at what this early church was and what we are called to be as the body of Christ. So Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, it says this. We're going to read through this passage and then we're going to break it up and take a look at a couple different things here. So starting in verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so back to that question of why should we emulate the early church? Right? When we look at this Acts 2 church, what is it that stands out about them that we look and say, we want that for our church? We want that in 2026 in the city of Davison in Michigan, across the world from the believers at this time. Why is this the formula that works for us? And there's a couple reasons for that. They were accomplishing all the things that as believers we are meant to do. Take a look at verse 43. The way that we see that this is the case, it says, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And so here you have the body of Christ, they're getting together, and there's stuff that's happening that is leaving people in awe and wonder. That people of the time, not the believers, are looking at the believers of the time that are looking at the church, and they're like, there is something radically different about that group of people. The first thing that they're accomplishing that we as the church should be looking to accomplish is they were being actively used by God. They were being actively used by God. As they got together, as the apostles were doing things, as they were the body of Christ together, the Holy Spirit was moving in and through them, and incredible things were happening. If this is not your heart, there's a problem. As a believer, you should look and say, I have a deep, deep desire to be used by God. To be used by God in my family, to be used by God in my workplace, to be used by God in my community, in my neighborhood, in my friend groups. My heart, the heartbeat of me as a believer is to be used by God in the places where he puts me. And as a group of believers, which is what the church is, we should look and say, our heartbeat as a congregation, as a group of people, as the body of Christ, our heartbeat should be to be used by God. And so, as the Acts 2 church, we look to them and we say, what is it that's so special about them? They were actively being used by God. The Holy Spirit was moving in them over and over and over and over, and people were looking at them and they were in awe of the way that some just crazy things were happening in their midst and in the people around them. And for us as a church, we should have this continual hope that God moves through us in a way that leaves people in awe of wonder, that the people of Davison and Genesee County should look to us and say, something different is happening in those people. Notice I said, those people, not that building, not there. That as we go out in our community, that we're out in our workplaces, that we're at our kids' schools, that as we're shopping at Meijer or wherever it is, that people would look at us and say, they act differently, they talk differently, they love differently, they teach their kids differently, they love their spouses differently, they are different. There is something that is moving through them that is more than just them. We have to go and look to go as a church and be actively used by God. And so we look to the early church and we see, man, they are a people who are used by God. Let's live a little bit more like that. That's the first thing. That's one of the first ways or the first things that we should want to emulate in the early church. The second thing is, God was using them to bring salvation to people. Look at verse 47. Praising God, right? These are the things that are praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Many times, people in churches will talk about how numbers is not something that a church should look for. And I'm on board to a point. If God is never adding to the number of salvations of people within your midst, what are we doing? That's a question I think we need to ask. If God is not leading people to salvation in our midst, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? We talked about last week that as the church, we were left with this command by Christ to go and be his witness. If as the church, we are being that witness, people should be coming to salvation as we witness to them. People should be showing up to the body of Christ, to our gatherings, and looking to be grown. And we as a church should be growing. That's just the reality of what it means to be an effective steward of the gifts that the Holy Spirit has left us. Now, does this mean our sole motivation is behinds and seats? No. Our motivation is people being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, is people coming to salvation, is people being baptized. And one of the interesting things is if you look around in this room, that's been happening a whole lot, which has been cool to see, incredibly cool to see. But the reality is people were added to their number daily, that as these people went out and were used by God, that they didn't just simply have people looking at them and say, something's different, I wonder what it is, that they spoke in to that information vacuum. That as people looked at them and said, something's different about you, something's happening different here, we're in awe of what's happening in your midst amongst these people, that the early church saw that as an opportunity for them to step in and say, here's what that is. Here's why that is. And here's how those same things that you look at us and you want those things in your life, here's how you can receive those things. The gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you showed up and you do not know Jesus Christ and you look at this room and you say, man, there is something different that's going on here. There is an excitement. There is a joy. There is love. There is something happening that's different here. The only reason for that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we were sinners in need of a Savior, and that God loved us enough to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to come to live on earth and to die in our place. And that through his death and his resurrection, we can be forgiven of our sins. That if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that he's risen from the dead, that we have that salvation. And so this morning, if you look at us and you are in awe, or you have someone in your world that you look and say, that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. Why? Because it's the power of God and salvation for us. And so we look and we see the gospel. We look and at the Old Testament, or at the New Testament church, right? This Acts 2 church. And we look and we see they had a care for the lost souls around them. This should be our aim as well, to care for the lost souls in our community, have a desire both in action and in prayer to see people be saved and added to our body of Christ. And I say action and prayer because it's a both. Some of you in this room are fantastic prayers, but when it comes time to share the gospel, you can have the sense of getting cold feet. And some of you in this room are fantastic at sharing God's word, but you like to talk at people and not pray for them. It's a both and. In our community, we have to be praying for our community. We have to be praying for our families. We have to be praying for our coworkers. We have to be praying for these people. But then we also have to recognize the time to speak and witness to the wonderful power of the gospel in people's lives. And so as we look here at the Acts 2 church, they clearly had it going on, right? They had found the formula. They were doing the things to accomplish the right goals, right? But what is it that they were doing to produce these results? I'm a very application person. Many of you know that about me. As I dive into scripture, not only do I have to see the ideas, the content, but I'm someone who really needs the step-by-step live it out application points in God's word. Because most of the time, if I try and do it according to how Justin thinks it should be done, it ends up done wrong, right? And my wife can attest to that, right? And so here when I look in God's word, I look and we're actually given the formula, the application formula, as for us to be the church and to look to accomplish these things. Here are some things that we should be doing. And to me, there's really two words in this passage that stand out as those application points. The first word that I see here that stands out to me is the word together. And it's used a couple times here in verse 44 through 46. So I'm going to read that if you want to follow along with me. It says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." When we talk about that idea of being together, this seems like something fairly simple, right? But oftentimes, the simple things get overlooked because people assume that they're easy. That they're easy, right? This idea of together will solve itself. All I have to do is show up every once in a while. But the reality is, more and more, true connection in our world is being cut out, and it's being replaced with cheap alternatives. People mistake cheap connection fed to them by media, technology, culture as true and deep community. I'll give you an example of this, one that hits a little bit home to us here in Davison. About a year ago, as a church, we stopped streaming online. Some of the other locations do. For a number of reasons, we stopped streaming online. And I'll be honest, none of those reasons had to do with this idea of being together. But something interesting started happening. All of a sudden, I started to see some faces in Sunday morning gatherings that I hadn't seen in a while. Or I started to see some faces that I would see once every 6 weeks. I started to see them a lot more regularly. And I started asking them a couple things. Hey, I've seen you around more. What's the reason for that? And then they kind of looked down and shuffled, looked at their feet. They said, you stopped streaming. And after a couple weeks, I felt bad. So I came back. And there's a moment where I had been wrestling with, do we bring back streaming? Do we not? And there was that moment solidified, not right now, we don't. Why? Because people were using a tool that is incredibly valuable. I understand the value of streaming our Sunday morning gatherings. Please don't get me wrong, right? But people were using a tool that for something profitable as a means to cheapen this idea of being together. And we do this in many different ways. Sometimes it's we show up just to say that we showed up this Sunday morning, and then as soon as the last song starts, we bolt out of here. We do everything that we can to have the least amount of interactions that we can on a Sunday morning. We put on our grouchy face so know that no one approaches us, right? Whatever it is, we miss the reality of what it means to be the body of Christ, which means being together. There's something incredible about the gift of proximity. Proximity. And what I mean by proximity is simply being around one another. Simply being around one another. Some of you are missing out to the goodness of the body of Christ simply because you aren't around. And I don't say that to guilt you. I want you here desperately. And the reason I want you here is because I see what you're missing out on. I look at some of your brothers and sisters in Christ who have made leaps and bounds over 2025 in their relationship with the Lord. And you want to know one of the reasons why? There's a multitude. But one of the reasons why is simply because they made being together with the church a priority in their life. If you want to grow in 2026, one of the best ways to do that is to surround yourself with the church. And this isn't just something that isn't based in Scripture, where we look and say, oh, yeah, it just makes sense that we should be around. The reality is we were created with a deep need for connection. And that deep need for connection ties itself all the way back to God. We're not going to go super deep into this because it could be a tangent that we could be here for several hours on. But the reality is God in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are in perfect community with one another, perfect connection to one another. And when God created us, he said he made us in his image. So wired into our DNA is a sense of connection and community. And you see this most evidently when people are left in isolation. I think we all remember what happened 6 years ago and the struggle for so many of us to simply be alone without connection. Or to be in isolated groups of connection. That's because connection and community are wired into us by God. And so, what better to feed that need than the community that God created for us, the church? We have a need to be together. And this should be most intensely found in the body of Christ, the church. And so we look back at this Acts 2 church and we see, how did they do it? Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So the simple answer is, they got together regularly. Not just once a week, but daily, time, regularly together. Now, does this mean that every night this week we're meeting at the church for a meal? No, it doesn't, because I'm sure none of you want my cooking. And seven nights of Little Caesars doesn't really sound appetizing to anyone, right? Because if it's a church event, we gotta have pizza, right? But what it means is, getting together should be more than just gathering together on Sunday morning. When we look at what it means to be together, a lot of us consider, oh, Sunday mornings is what it means to be together. I hate to break it to you, folks. Sunday morning is the bare minimum. Bare minimum. The reality is, we are called to be together regularly. This means being part of a growth community. This means if you have students or you have kids, making sure they're part of kids and student ministry. It means maybe getting together for a meal with another family at church. It doesn't mean we all have to be invited all the time, right? You can ask another family in church to get together and go have a meal. You can ask a couple people in your row to get together and play board games this week, right? It doesn't always look up like showing up together at this building. Why? Because this building isn't church, folks. We're church. And so we can go and be with the church without showing up here, without a Facebook post from the River Church or it getting posted on the events tab at the on the website. We can go and be a part of the church by simply being friends with one another. The call is to be together. It's said twice here in this passage that they were together. They did that. For some of you, that is deeply uncomfortable. You like your family. That's a great thing. I love my family too. But sometimes we can have the tendency to be homebodies. To not want to be people who go out and risk deep friendships. Who go out and are willing to be vulnerable. Who are willing to be hospitable and open our homes to one another. Who don't want to schedule another night of the week to go out and do something. I get it. But when busyness and fear come for us, they attack that which gives us life, which is being together in the body of Christ. Next thing. Next word that I see here that sticks out to me. Look back to verse 42. The word that sticks out to me that the early church, that the Acts 2 church that they were doing, they were devoted as a church. Verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. So here we see this idea of devoted is being intentional. Sometimes we expect community, friendships, God, understanding of God's word, We expect those things to fall into our laps. Oh, if I go and have dinner with a family from church one time, then I'll have deep friends everywhere. That if I show up to a growth community one time, that I will understand everything in the Bible. Oh, I showed up and I served one time and I didn't leave feeling on a spiritual high. I don't know that I'm going to do that again. The reality of the early church is they were a devoted people. They were devoted to what it is they were doing. Now, sometimes God graciously places these things, community, understanding God's word, godly friendships, right? All these things he places in our way. But much more often, what he calls us to is spiritual discipline. He calls us to intentionally seek these things out. Why? Because he wants us to understand the value of them in our lives. And he wants us to make following him, and by proxy, being a part of his church, a priority in our lives. There are so many things that are vying for priority time in our world. What is deserving of that time? I'll let you answer that. But the thing that we see that Acts 2 church was doing is they looked and said, this is crucial to us, to being devoted to the apostles' teaching, which for us is God's word. Being devoted to God's word and being devoted to fellowship with one another. That these things that we have to recognize, these things don't just happen out of nowhere, but instead they take intentional, devoted pursuit in our lives. That if we want godly community in our lives, sometimes we have to actually go and seek that. Or sometimes we have to actually create that. We're in need of growth communities here at our location. Maybe you've been sitting on a skill to walk through God's word, or to host someone who will host a group so that you can walk through God's word together. Sometimes it means creating that community. But let's talk a little bit about the payoff. Turn with us to Hebrews chapter 10. Some of you in this room, and I get it, want to know what the payoff is before you're willing to risk it. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm not putting that down. You like to calculate things. I'm very much on your page, on your side. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23, the preacher in Hebrews, he's talking about what this level of devotion amongst the body of believers looks like. How we see this being something worthy of our time and attention. Starting in verse 23, Hebrews 10 says this: let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The reality is, he says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Right? That's an action call. That's for us to do together. Right? There's that word again, together. Not neglecting to meet together, right? As some of you have the habit, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so we see that the very first verse here is the payoff of the rest. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We view that verse as a solo mission, right? That as I walk through my life looking to live out the gospel, looking to follow Jesus Christ, looking to pursue holiness in my life, that I, me, alone, should be capable of holding fast to that confession, holding fast to that mission. Well, we see that is not the case. When you read this in context, the reality is we're doing that together. Together. He says this is the goal, that we hold fast to the confession that we've made, the striving after the gospel that we say is our mission. But the way that that happens is through the faithfulness of God. That's number one. I don't ever want to discredit that. The faithfulness of God in our lives. And the second is through us together holding fast, united. How can you hold fast to the confession of hope? By being encouraged, being stirred up by others and stirring up others. That as you encourage others, they encourage you. If you're having a hard time in your walk with Christ right now, I will say this. It will not get any better if you isolate because you're ashamed. Let me say that again. If you are feeling discouraged in your walk with Christ, it will not get any better if you isolate because you're ashamed. If you look and say, I feel like a worse Christian, I'm having these doubts, I'm struggling with sin, fill in the blank, whatever it is you're thinking, it will never get better if you just try and white knuckle it alone. The key that Christ has laid out for us is found in the community of believers. Why? Because the community of believers get together and they stay devoted to stirring up one another, encouraging one another to be devoted to God's word. As we hold to the hope, as we hold fast in a discouraging time, in a time where it seems like, man, just everything seems to be coming after us, we're in deep need of devotion to God's word and one another, because it helps us cling all the tighter. It helps us to live out the gospel. It helps us to be encouraged by it, to be teaching it, to be sharing it, and to the hope that the gospel brings. Being together and being devoted to one another. This has to be our focus as the body of Christ. This has to be our focus as the body of Christ. Here's my encouragement to you this week. If you don't feel like you know someone in this room, and when I say know someone, not know their name, right? Because we all got name tags on, so you can solve that one right away, right? If you feel like you don't know anyone to like an understanding like past their name and like past the weather and how the Lions are doing and, you know, all that different stuff, my encouragement to you is get to know someone. Get to know someone. Ask them to go and have lunch. say, hey, let's go and grab coffee this week? Or would your family like to get together? If you want to show up to the building, like if you're like, hey, my house is a mess and I don't want to invite anyone over and you want to come here, I'll open up the building for you. Just let me know. I will remove every barrier and building block. Why? Because you need to be known and to know your fellow believers. And so my encouragement, or the question I want to leave you this week is, what does it mean for you to connect with the church this week? What does it mean for you to connect with the church this week? If you're new in this room, we have a River Connect class coming up. There's little square handouts that are back at guest services. You can scan those. They'll give you all the information. We'll sit down. Maybe for you, it's asking some questions. January 25th, the elders are coming to our location, 5 p.m. We're going to have a town hall meeting. They're going to spend some time walking through what it means, what the goals are for our church or our location, what the praises are, at answering some questions. Maybe for you, it's sitting down with me. There's some stuff you really need to walk through or talk through. Maybe it's getting involved in a growth community. You've heard me talk about that, and every single time I mention that word growth community, there's just a conviction in your heart. Wednesdays, we have it, 6:30. Thursdays, we have it, 6:30. You can go on the website. We have other ones at all the different locations if those times don't work for you. What does it mean for you to connect, to really be a part of the church this week? Because as we look at a church that was used by God and saw the power of salvation on the move in their community, they were a people that were together and a people that were devoted. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be used by you. Lord, we want to be used by you. We want to be used by you for our city, for our county. We want to be used by you and our families. We want to be used by you and our workplaces, in the places we go, in the people we encounter. Lord, we want to be a testimony of you, and we want to see souls saved. Lord, I pray that heart that we have as individuals would become our heart as a church, and that we as the body of Christ would look to invest in the body of Christ. Lord, that we wouldn't be people who just assume that it's going to happen. That we wouldn't be people who just wait for the next church event. Lord, but that we would be people who are devoted to being together. Lord, I pray that this week our calendars would be full, not of the normal busyness that usually fills them, but would be full of looking to connect with one another. Lord, I pray that wouldn't just be this week, that we would be a people who like being together. And as the world looks at us, they see the genuine community, the genuine love, the care, the friendships, and they just realize that that true relationship only comes through the connection that forms through people who are devoted to you. Lord, we love you, and we ask all these things in your precious and holy name. Jesus' name. Amen.